your Bibles to the book of Judges, chapter 6. Your Schofield Reference Bible, page 293. We begin with verse 11. Judges chapter 6, verses 11 through 15. The text verse is the 13th verse, with special note of the words in that verse, "Where be all his miracles?" Let's stand, please, for the reading of the Word of God. We'll read these verses responsibly. "There came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash the Abbe Ezrite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him, and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles, which our fathers told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us, and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee?" And now let's read the 15th verse together. "And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house." And without your turning to it, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." And let's pray. And Father, what a good day, what a wonderful occasion this is, each and every week when we come to this place. And for many of us, this is a familiar place, a revered place. We thank you that when we come, we hear good preaching, and the preaching is suitable to our need. Once again, it's so. The preaching is that which you've given our preacher to give to us, that we might be helped. Now, we're a needy people, and we should realize that. And what's being spoken today is something that will be helpful. So we ought to give our earnest attention, of course, to that which is thy word, that which is preached. Help us to do so, and help our preacher in Jesus' name. Amen.
This morning, I promise you, as I always do when we're a little late, we're just a tad late. I apologize, we got behind. Miss Colston's solo was so long. And we got behind a little bit this morning. But I always promise you this, I'll not be preaching past 12:10. And I don't think I'll go that long. But I promise you, by 12:10, if it's 12:09, I'm still circling the field, I'll come in for a crash landing. And I promise you that. And I promise you also that I always do when we're a little bit late, you'll walk out of this building before 12:30. Of course, I'll call you down when you walk out, but we'll walk out of the building before 12:30. I want to speak to you this morning on the subject, and I want you to listen to me very, very carefully. I want to speak to you on the subject, how to be a miracle. I want you to put all your pens and pencils up, no note-taking. I want you to look at me. I want to speak to you on the subject, how to be a miracle. Before I pray, let me just tell you, a man said the other day to me, in an effort to compliment me, he said, "Brother Hiles, you have performed miracles." And I said, "No, I've never performed a miracle." But I said, "I am a miracle. I am a miracle. Every time I look in the mirror, I look at a miracle." I mean that. I'm not boasting because I didn't do any. I'm not my own work, I'm his work. So I'm not performing any miracles. I'm not a miracle worker, a miracle performer, neither is Oral Roberts. But I am a miracle. I hope you'll let me speak from my heart to you this morning, and I believe I can help you. I have no robust, wild sermon this morning. I have a loving, tender-hearted sermon from the heart of a pastor who loves his people with all of his heart and wants to help you. I pray you'd listen carefully to me. Father, bless, I pray, the loaves and fishes that I pass out today. As the loaves and fishes leave my hand, multiply them and feed the hungry people. I'm talking about that lady who has cancer, wonders how much it's spreading. I could call a dozen names right now that covers. I'm talking about that man lost his job this week. I'm talking about that man whose wife has left him and is living with another man. I'm talking about those little children came to my office door this morning whose home has been broken by divorce or separation. I'm talking about the heavy-hearted ones. Oh, God, today, use me, please. That's all I ask. Amen. I'll be quite frank with you. I'm a little bit emotional these days. My heart is tendered because of the days that come up very soon. In just a month from now, I will start my 37th year as pastor of the greatest church in the world and the most loyal people in the world. People whose loyalty is not spoken but has been tested. And that tenders my heart. And then, of course, I'm coming in the next few days, September 25th. Don't forget that. That's September 25th. I'm coming to entering in my 70th year. That tenders me greatly. I'll be 69 years of age and be starting in about 2 months my 70th year. And I do so want it to be my best. I know a little bit about what the Apostle Paul meant when he said, I finished the course. I haven't finished the course, but God knows I want to. I don't mean I want to finish it in a hurry. I want to stretch out a little bit. One fellow in question and answer session last week stood up and said, when are you going to go down to Florida and get your Bermuda shorts and play shuffleboard? I said, that's not emotion, is it? But it's emotional for me when I realize that I'm entering in just a couple of months. In fact, I think 2 months from today. Is today the 25th? 23rd? Okay. 2 months from Tuesday, I will enter my 70th year. That isn't all. In just a couple of months, I will have been married to this lovely little lady who sang for you a while ago, a half a century. That same night that we were married, I was licensed to preach the gospel. We're talking about 50 years as a licensed preacher. We're talking about 50 years of being of marriage. You know about talking about 69 years, entering my 70th year. We're talking about 37th year I'm starting as pastor of this church. I have been looking, I've been driving by that little church out there on the campus. Twice in the last 2 weeks I've driven across and looked at this one and then driven out there and looked at that one. I have sat here this morning as I looked at this great sea of faces, thousands of people. I've been placing beside you those little 19 people at the Mars Chapel Baptist Church to go to Texas. I look at my old classmates who are ahead of me in college and see them exactly where they were and realize how good God's been to me. I look at that little church in my mind and then look at this great church. I didn't even know I thought a budget was a car rental company. I thought a church budget was a car rented with the church. I know what a church budget was. My college, they taught us Petrian theology and Paulinian theology and eschatology and hermeneutics and apologetics. And I didn't take apologetics. I ain't going to apologize to nobody. But they taught us all of that, but they didn't teach us how to baptize. They didn't teach us how to have a deacon board. They didn't teach us how to have a business meeting. They didn't teach us how to build a building. They didn't teach us about a church budget. When I realized that our budget we adopted the other night over $15 million. Ladies and gentlemen, that's almost $40,000 every day of the year. And I realized that as a kid preacher, I started off, didn't even know how to draw up a church budget. I'm trying to tell you, I've been praising God a great deal lately. I look at that shy little lad who preached his first sermon, lasted 3 minutes, sat down and apologized and then sat down. And that deacon walked by and said to me, young man, I don't know who you are, but you ought not to go through with this. You get your job being a carpenter or a plumber, but you'll never make a preacher. And I look back at 56,000 times I've preached. How can I help but praise his name? I look at that little boy that failed public speaking in school. I look at that first little church for 1 year, no converts. I said for one whole year, not a single convert. In about 20 minutes, 25 minutes, you'll see them flooding down this aisle like they do every week. Over 800,000 people have walked the aisles in my meetings receiving Christ as Savior in my churches and my meetings through these years. Folks, I'm trying to tell you today, you're looking at a miracle. Not a miracle worker, but you're looking at a miracle. Now I want to tell you this morning how you can become a miracle. How you can become a miracle. Listen to me carefully, because you won't hear anything that will help you any more than this. It's not talent. I had none. God didn't take a talented fella and make him pastor of America's largest church. I had no talent. It wasn't charisma. I had none. It was looks. I've always been this cute. I want to give you four statements this morning. Hang on every word or I'll hang you. Listen carefully. How did this little preacher... I'm not what you'd think would pastor the largest church in America. If you drew up the image of the man, you heard about, you're going to go visit the largest church in the country, and you heard about it, and you wanted to go, in your mind, you wouldn't picture this. Before you get too cocky, you wouldn't picture that as being his people either. Number one, I have never prayed for task equal to my powers, but for powers equal to my task. I have never prayed for task equal to my powers, but for powers equal to my task. We put our task, and I want you, by the way, don't just apply this sermon to me. You apply it to you. We put our task over here, and we put our powers or our strength over here. So, we find that our task over here exceed our powers over here. So what do? We go over here and chop a task off. Now listen carefully to me. When you chop that task off, God gives you less powers. Your powers will never equal your task. You will always have less power than you have task. You say, why is that? I call that miracle space. I call it miracle space. So you look today at all the things you have to do and put them over here, and all the power that you have with which to do these things over here and put it over here, and you say, good night, I can't do all of that. Hey, I know that, but you add it through Christ in there and you can do all of it. That gives him a chance. If you cut something out over here, you're robbing yourself of the opportunity of being a miracle. But what you need to do is say, those are my tasks and this is my power. God, I do not pray for tasks equal to my power, but power equal to my task. I never design anything. I keep on adding stuff. Listen, I was worked to death at the Grange Hall Baptist Church. What you do, I need to give up something. No, you don't need to give up something. You need to ask God to give you power and strength to do what He's given you to do. Don't cut your task to equal your power. Ask God to increase your power to equal your task. You're not going to grow. You can't grow if you cut something down and cut something back. Go to the average doctor. Hey, you quit this and quit this. Tell the doctor to go back to the Hades, the booger man, and tell God, you give me strength to my task. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, you won't be a miracle unless your task concedes your strength, because there's no place for God to come in and perform a miracle. If you have enough strength to do it, there's no need for God to help you. But God looks down and sees all you've got to do, and God looks down and sees your power and your task, and God says, "Woo! There's a miracle opportunity." I call it miracle space. Folks, I was overworked at Grange Hall Baptist Church. You say, "Brother Howells, you need to cut something." No, I need to add something. I was overworked when I was a kid preacher. I prayed for more powers, and step by step, listen, I was overworked before we ever had a school. I worked day and night before we ever had a grade school, but we added a high school, and here I have another task over here, and I don't have that much strength. I said, "God, give me strength," and God gives me strength to perform the new task. And then we started a grade school. And I come over here, I don't have enough strength to do it. I was overworked back yonder years ago. And all of a sudden I say, "God, I've got to have strength." And God performs another miracle. And then I come over here and God says, "Start yourself a City Baptist bus kid school." I come back over here and say, "I haven't got enough strength to do that." I say, "God, give me strength," and I'm a miracle again. And I come over here and start a college. And now I haven't got the strength to do all I got to. I'm trying to tell you, God is a miracle working God, and God can give you the strength to do what you're supposed to do. You'll never be a miracle unless you listen to what I'm saying right now. I cannot pastor America's largest church. I can't pastor this church. I'm a country preacher. I'm not an executive. But I have 500 folks plus that work with me. I'm not an educator, but I'm chancellor of the largest independent fundamental Baptist college in the world. I'm not a big preacher, but I'm pastor of tens of thousands of people. I'm not an author, but I've written 42 books. I'm trying to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, you put over here your task, all you got to do, and you put over here your strength, and what you're saying is, "I'll only do what I can do." Brother, why don't you say, "I'll do what Jesus and I can do." How did I become a miracle? I became a miracle because I never asked or prayed for tasks equal to my powers. The power is equal to my task. Let me tell you something. I could take you across this platform here. I'm so proud of these men that work with me. I could take you across this platform here and show you how these fellows have grown. Not subtraction by subtraction, but addition upon addition. A little guy I mentioned, a little guy walked up to me at the college years ago. Little meek kind of a fella. And I thought the guy was scared to be alive. And he said, "Brother Hiles," he said, "you think God could use me?" And I lied and said, "Yes." He said, "My name is Ray Young. You think God..." I've never seen a more cowed-looking little guy than he is. Now, that fella has become one of the outstanding executives in the fundamental world. You know how he did it? By cutting back his task to fit his strength. No, sir! No, sir! He has more to do than he can do, and he asks God, "Here's where the miracle opportunity is. Here's the miracle space." He's taken on task after task after task. The other day, Jeff Owens walked into my office. He said, "Brother Hiles, I want to start some more Bible clubs." And I want to start some children's Bible clubs in the public school system. And well, he had three or four more. And the guy's worked to death already. And there he was saying, I want to start this, and I want to start this. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the way you grow in grace. You look at your strength and say, I can't do. Look at all I've got to do. I can't do all I've got to do. The load is too heavy. Well, that's what she sang about. She sang about it. Jesus said, bring your burden to me, and I'll give you rest. Ladies and gentlemen, we don't need people quitting stuff. We need folks starting stuff. Be a miracle. Number two, I realize that tasks and strengths never remain the same. Number one, I have never prayed for tasks equal to my powers, but for powers equal to my task. Number two, I realize that task and strength never remain the same. Four statements, listen carefully. One, your task will always be a little above your powers. That's what I call miracle space. Two, if you give up a task, the strength you now have will diminish. Watch me. Here are all your tasks over here. Now, hold it. I'm not talking about the softball league. I'm not talking about the basketball team. And I'm not against those things. I'm for them. I'm talking about your bus route. I'm talking about your Sunday school class. I'm talking about your soul winning time. I'm talking about your prayer time. I'm talking about your full-time service for God. I'm talking about spiritual tasks that are in the work of God. And here all your tasks over here. And you come over here and say, here's my strength. Now watch it carefully. Here's my strength. It can't equal those tasks. So I come back over here and I cut off one of these tasks. And I come back over here and I find my strength is not as strong as it was either. You keep on cutting off, your strength will keep diminishing. Listen to me. Listen. The great men of God, now I'm talking about the men on this platform here. The great men of God in America. Al Lace is a good example. Good night, the guy does everything. Writes, preaches, writes books, writes novels. I mean, you say, how's he get it all done? I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. As Hiles will tell you that I was worked to death at the Grange Hall Baptist Church with 150 members starting off. Now with these thousands of people, average 147 counseling sessions a week, average writing at least one book a year, overseeing, and I mean overseeing, a college. Overseeing, and I mean overseeing, two high schools. Overseeing, and I mean overseeing, an elementary school. I'm talking about flying over 200,000 miles a year on jet planes. I'm talking about 20 hours a week I spend at least on my face before God, and 20 hours a week in that book every week of my life. And yet, you say, preacher, what are you doing? I'm finding new things to do. Now watch me carefully. Here are your tasks. And here's your strength. You say, my, this can't measure up to that. You go to the doctor. You got a virus. What's a virus? It's when the doctor doesn't know what's wrong with you, it's a virus. Got a virus. What's a virus? And the doctor says, I know, you run down. Why don't you show your doctor Isaiah 40:31? They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. That's the Bible. Why don't you show that to your doctor? So you go back over here and say, well, I gotta cut down some of this my work. I gotta resign. You go back over here. When you get back over here, you find there's not much strength over there as it was when you left to go resign something. Now follow me carefully. So what do? Trot back over here, and you cut something else off. Now from here, it's the same as that. But by the time you get back over there, you got less strength than you had when you went back over there. God needs some miracle space. God needs a space where it's His work and His job. So you say, well, boy, I haven't got enough strength. Now you got less to do, but you got less strength because your strength will never equal your task.
Otherwise, there's no miracle space. You come back over here and you cut something else. Till after a while, you listen. After a while, you're nothing more than sitting in church, filling up a few inches of a pew, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. And there are people all over this room. Never win a soul. You never witness. You never build a Sunday school class. I love you, and I'm glad you're here, and you're welcome, and you're my people. But there are people here that never do a thing for God. And what you don't realize is this. You keep on cutting your task out. God less than just drink. God wants some room between your strength and your task so He can make a miracle. Said your task will always be a little above your power. If you give up a task, the strength you now have will diminish. If you add a task, the strength you now have will increase. Okay, here's my task. Okay, here's what I got to do. I come over here, and I find I don't have the strength to do it. So what do? God, I'm going to take off doing it. I'm going to take the challenge. I'm going to do it. You come back over here, and you find by the time you get over here, God's given you strength to do what the tasks are. So you come back over here, and you add a new task over there. You come back over here and you say, I don't have enough strength to do it. You come back over here and ask God to give it to you and go ahead and do it anyway. And while you're doing it, God gives you the strength. And you say, okay, I'll add something else. You go back over here and there's not enough strength to do it. But you go back over here and do it anyway. And there's strength to do it. And your strength will increase as your performance increases, as your work increases. Or your strength will decrease as your work decreases. That's why I'm a miracle. How do you do all you do? I just couldn't do all of that. You can't even do all you don't do. I just don't have all that talent. Not talent. They call it work where I came from. Observation number four, you will never grow until you're overworked. Listen, you will never grow until you're overworked. Because when you're over here, overworked, God gives you more strength. You add something else, come back over here, I don't have strength. You go back over here and do it anyway, and God gives you more strength, and you've grown in grace. You come back over here, you added something else, you don't have enough strength. You come back over here and you do it anyway, and you keep on adding and growing and adding. Now you don't grow and add, you add and grow. I said, how to be a miracle. Statement number one. I have never prayed for task equal to my powers, but for powers equal to my task. Statement number two, I realized that task and strengths never remained the same. Are you listening to me? Number three, I always start the task before I get the powers. You guys that lift weights, you don't lift what you know you can lift easily. You don't see that weight down there. And you don't say, dear God, give me strength to lift that. No, sir. You don't get strength to lift it. You get strength by lifting it. And so you lift it. And then you drop it off on the side. And then you add more to it. You don't add to it what you could lift a while ago. You add to it what you can't lift yet. And you do like that. And then you do like that. And you do like that. And then you do like that. Then like that, and then like that. And now you've added strength. But you don't get the strength for your work, you get the strength by your work. You don't get the strength for your burdens, you get the strength by your burdens. You listen carefully. This great, that parking lot and all these cars wouldn't be around here. And boy, I'll tell you, last Sunday I got away a little bit early. I realize what you fight to get out of here. I don't leave till the hour after you leave usually, but I left last Sunday. You got in my way. I never saw so many cars in my life. And I went over here. All these vendors over here look like a county fair. You know why? Bless God, we got more folks here than the county fair has. this work you see here. I could empty this building right now and more than fill it with people on this property right now. They're not in this building, but they're over there. You say, Brother Hiles, all of this work. You know why all this work is here? Because some of us have been lifting burdens for 36 years. Some of us have reached down and said, I can't bear that burden. If the world from you withhold of its silver and its gold, you reach down and try to lift the burden and you can't lift it. But for 36 years, ladies and gentlemen, this old man's been carrying a heap of burdens. But that isn't all. So have the people in this church been carrying a heap of burdens for 36 years. And that's why this church is strong. This church hadn't been attacked by the devil and the forces of hell tried to destroy this church all these years. And because we're cute, or because we have charisma, or because we're big, we stood. No, sir. This church has stood because this church has come to a weight it couldn't bear and a burden it couldn't bear and reached down and said, we'll bear it. And God said, I'll give you strength to bear it then. I always start the task before I get the power. Strength comes by doing the task. You don't get strength for the doing of the task. You get the strength by the doing of the task. I have watched these men on the platform and others as they've added work they could not do and they did it. And added more work they could not do and they did it. And added more work they could not do and they did it. And I've watched others of you resign this. Resign this. There hath no trial or temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tested above that you're able, and will with the testing of temptation make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. So I pray, God, don't cut my work, increase it. If my task are larger than my strength, increase my strength. Don't cut my task. And give me more to do. I want to grow. If I was like some of you people, I'd still be sitting down there pastoring the Grange Hall Baptist Church in Marshall, Texas, with 150 people saying, I've got more to do than I can do. I always have more to do than I can do. Bless God, if you have a task to do it, and get on your face and say, oh God, I've got a job to do. I'm gonna do it. And God said, you do it, and I'll give you strength while you do it. Number four, I never prayed to do miracles, but to be one. This is His work, not mine. Get this statement. So I am the work, not the worker. I am the work, not the worker. That means I cannot do what I am supposed to do. And that makes me a possible miracle. God comes down. God said, this fella, his task and his strength are the same. He doesn't need my help. God comes down and says, this fellow's got more than he can do. I'll help him. And God performs a miracle. And you're looking at one right now. You're looking at a country preacher. You're looking at a kid that was elite. When I surrendered to preach, they didn't believe it. Some of you folks still don't believe it. That fellow, that deacon I told you about, I tried to preach my first sermon, lasted 3 minutes. He walked up and said, you'll never make a preacher. I was preaching down in Texas a few years ago. He's an old man now. He walked up and he said, I'm that fellow told you years ago you'd never make a preacher. He said, I heard you tonight and I haven't changed my mind a bit. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to find out whether there's a God in heaven or not. Does He have supernatural strength or not? To give you power to perform the task He's given you to do or not? Do you want to be a miracle or not? Now you want to spend half your time at the amusement park and a fourth of it at the bowling lanes or the fourth on the golf course. That's why I like to go to that little building on a campus But the night I went out there, tiptoed on the campus, nobody saw me. I leaned up against the little building and remembered. I realized what God has given us here. And I praised Him. And I loved Him. May I close by having a little spell? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. 50 years. I never thought I'd have this many adults. I never thought I'd have a church with that many adults. Look at this great crowd this morning. It's summertime. College is out. Praise His name. Hallelujah. I'm a miracle. If I were a miracle worker, I could brag. But I'm not a miracle worker. But if I'm a miracle, I can brag on Him. He's the worker. I am the work. But I'll never be a miracle till I leave Him some miracle space between my strength and my task. You say, preacher, I'm not even saved. How can I be a miracle? Oh, I've got news for you. God will perform a miracle in your life immediately, right now. You right now realize you're a sinner and you're lost and on your way to burning hell forever. And realize that God came to earth in the form of a man and took your sins in His own body after living a perfect life and paid the penalty for your sin and suffered your hell for you. And you get on your knees this morning or walk down this aisle and say, I am trusting that plan and that person, Jesus, as my Savior and my hope for heaven. You will become a miracle. He'll make you His child, make you a new creature in Christ Jesus. I don't know about you, but I want to be a miracle. Because I want to be a miracle and realize that my strength will never equal my task. I do not want to diminish my strength by cutting my task. I want to add to my strength by increasing my task. No one leaving, would you bow your head? It's 12:10.